of the political absurd and the cup filling part two, plus a great emergency broadcast that we must bring you. During just 1 week, the political diversion theater of the impeachment absurd featured A, Nancy Pelosi calling President Trump an imposter, B, Representative Ratcliffe explaining the non-existent charges against President Trump that they had magically morphed from extortion to bribery. Poof! We had usually intrepid journalist Tucker Carlson telling a dumbfounded representative from the Western Journal, Floyd Brown, that he, quote, was unable to confirm the name of the whistleblower. And Floyd Brown counter-reacted that, quote, someone on your network accidentally said the name. As listeners of the Divided Kingdom, you recall we mentioned Eric Cherumella, alleged CIA operative, after we found it, guess where? Why, on Floyd Brown's Western Journal. So it is no wonder that when Tucker Carlson ended the interview by thanking the Western Journal representative, Floyd Brown, the man just stared at Carlson in stupefaction. Maybe Carlson didn't want his front door broken down again by Antifa types. The Dems' impeachment hearings with a demonic-looking Schiff. Yes, now there are allegations Schiff attends occult mock sacrifice rituals. Anyway, his headlight eyes beam out in a way sinister like no human being we've ever seen. Well, these hearings, based on hearsay, became so incredibly dull that millions of Americans turned off their TVs, and CBS had to decide to pull the plug on the incessant boredom and return to their normal programming. And then there was the supremely oddball news item reported on October 4th. Breitbart reported. And first, the headline was LaRouche PAC claims credit for Eat the Babies prank that fooled Ocasio-Cortez. The extremist anti-Semitic LaRouche PAC claimed responsibility for the troll at Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's town hall on Thursday, who said we must eat the babies in order to save the planet from climate change. The bizarre moment unfolded at Ocasio-Cortez's town hall at the Queens Public Library on Thursday after a woman stood up and proclaimed that we must eat the babies to save the planet from climate change, leaving the New York lawmaker dumbfounded. A Swedish professor said, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2, the woman said. I'm so happy that you really are supporting the new Green Deal, but it's not enough, you know. Even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, she continued. Too much pollution, so we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. We need to eat the babies, she declared. Ocasio-Cortez did not address the woman's plea to eat the babies specifically, telling her that, quote, we need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present. Luckily, we have more than a few months. We do need to hit net zero in several years, the far-left squad member said. No, nothing is as it seems, but Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, are determined to bring you the important warnings that we should, as watchmen seeking the truth, as God's good men and women are increasingly beleaguered.
This is Lou Caverly.
Oh, you know, Lou, before you go on, there's one more important update that has to be made, and that's because we're talking about this theater of absurd and how this cup of revelation keeps filling. Sometimes the MSM, like the Boston Globe on September 18, 2019, caught just the tip of the iceberg of subterranean hidden dark evil. And so we're looking here at the headline from the Boston Globe, September 18th, 2019, by Deirdre Fernandez. More than 60 of MIT's leading female faculty members confront the president over Epstein. And the article goes on to say that Epstein donated to MIT over a period of 20 years, and many of those contributions came after he was registered as a sex offender following his 2008 conviction for soliciting a minor for prostitution. Epstein was sentenced to a 13-month jail term for that crime. Much of Epstein's entanglements were centered around MIT's Media Lab, where its former director, Joy Ito, acknowledged taking $525,000 from the financier for university research and $1.2 million for his own venture funds. Earlier this month, Ito resigned after an explosive New Yorker article revealed that Epstein was far more involved in the Media Lab than Ito first revealed, and that Ito worked to conceal Epstein's ties. Ito and other MIT employees wrote in emails that Epstein had acted as an intermediary to help the Media Lab secure major donations, including $5.5 million from investor Leon Black, founder of one of the world's largest private equity firms, and $2 million from Microsoft's Bill Gates. Epstein also visited the Media Lab and brought young women with him, according to the New Yorker article. InfoWars has reported in depth that these connections with Bill and Melinda Gates' foundation were not casual. Various kinds of eugenics research and hidden, covert projects, perhaps even cloning, went on. But the curtain falls to hide the worst in our deep state theater of evil. But you know, on November 20th, Alex Jones was, he said, going to get into his car and ride up to a part of Austin where President Trump was going to be meeting with Apple head Tim Cook. And, of course, they were meeting to celebrate the return of a few jobs. I think it was rather minuscule, maybe 15,000, to the United States. At the same time, we know that the Apple giant has so much more going on over in China. And because they were meeting, Alex Jones decided to go, and instead of going in his car, he went in his newer armored vehicle. Now, isn't that a picturesque sight? There he is with his bullhorn riding along in the armored vehicle. And so he bullhorned this meeting. And now this meeting included not only President Trump, but Jared Kushner and Ivanka. And we know that they are extreme leftists, and we don't expect them to be making a plea to Tim Cook to quit censoring the conservatives, quit deplatforming people like Alex Jones. So Alex was calling out of his armed vehicle to stop censoring conservatives, and that Apple was evil, and that we did not want a Chinese social credit score here. Stop the tyranny. It was a very important thing that he was doing. And now I think we're ready to move on to Lou.
And once again, this is Lou Cavalli with Emergency Broadcast Late 2019. Emergency Broadcast number 2. With all the coy, diversionary, whistleblower, name controversy, let's get to the real heart of darkness. What is the deep state planning to do? Trying, even now, to decapitate the Constitution and free
and our free America.
And our free America.
Yeah,
itself.
All
yes,
of it.
Yes,
it's trying
that's
to do
right.
this.
So here, we have an exclusive.
I think that we have here something that is a follow-up to our earlier emergency broadcast about the Marines being called up. Mike Adams reported on Natural News that in a time of terrible, what can we say, terrible imminent tyranny, the Marines would encircle the White House. Now, this is a very grave article, and we do ask all of you who are listening to the Divided Kingdom to pray very, very fervently and very often to have Jesus Christ and the warrior angels surround President Trump, Vice President Pence, and the whole administration with safety and with guidance to them.
Exclusive. President Trump. Trump makes unscheduled stop at military hospital to undergo battery of tests for possible deliberate poisoning of food with time-delayed chemical agent. Food tester gravely ill. Dated Monday, September 18th, 2019. This is by Mike Adams, Natural News. The president's unscheduled stop at the Walter Reed Military Hospital on Saturday involved a battery of tests to determine whether the president was exposed to a chemical agent that is suspected of being introduced into his food, said the White House-connected source, who shared details with Alex Jones of Infowars.com. Quote, medical staff at Walter Reed did not get a staff-wide notice about a presidential visit to the medical center in Bethesda, Maryland, ahead of Trump's arrival, according to that source, reports Fox59.com. Typically, and this is also in quotes, typically, Walter Reed's medical staff would get a general notice about a VIP visit to the medical center ahead of a presidential visit, notifying them of certain closures at the facility. That did not happen this time, indicating the visit was a non-routine visit and scheduled at the last minute. Unquote. This action was initiated by the sudden onset of symptoms experienced by the president's food taster, who was reported stricken with such severe symptoms that urgent medical tests were conducted on that person while the president was diverted to Walter Reed for a priority medical examination involving a battery of chemical tests. Said Fox 59, quote, the president's motorcade drove to the medical center unannounced, with reporters under direction not to report his movement until they arrived Saturday at Walter Reed. A separate source familiar with the situation described Trump's visit as abnormal, but added that Trump, 73, appeared to be in good health late Friday, unquote. Fox 59 confirms that Trump needed tests which were not available at the White House clinic facility, saying, quote, several experts familiar with White House medical procedures said that Trump can get routine lab work done at the White House's on-site clinic, indicating Trump needed tests that can't be done there, unquote. According to the White House-connected source, who spoke directly with Alex Jones, chemical testing confirmed the presence of a molecular byproduct of a potential toxin, although it is important to note that molecular byproducts can come from many different sources, and it's not always possible to determine the molecular structure of the original molecule from which the byproduct was derived. The president is reportedly fine and did not experience the same symptoms that are reported to have overcome the food tester. We currently do not know the condition of the food tester. No additional details have been made public about which tests were conducted on the president and what chemical byproduct was found. Alex Jones told Natural News that he believes this incident may have been a deep state attack using an exotic chemical poison with a delayed activation signature. He underscored, quote, the importance of people understanding that we are in the climate of civil war and this kind of attempted poisoning is par for the course, historically speaking, when they want to take out a leader, unquote, and make it appear to be death by natural causes. InfoWars had previously reported that Roger Stone survived an attempted poisoning and that deep state operatives...
Yes, and I want to comment on that, Lou.
Yes.
That was polonium, and that was very well authenticated because Roger Stone went to a very, very respected, world-renowned medical facility to have the testing done so that there would be no question later that he was poisoned by polonium.
Yes, that's right. So InfoWars had previously reported about Roger Stone that he survived the attempted poisoning and that deep state operatives who had infiltrated the White House were poisoning the president's water in an effort to impair his cognitive function and energy. In 2018, a U.S. Secret Service agent traveling with President Trump in Scotland died from a stroke, USA Today reported. Quote, a Secret Service agent traveling as part of a presidential President Trump's security detail died Tuesday in Scotland after suffering a severe stroke.
And we have to again interject there that we were there, you see, in the area of MI6. We were there in the area of the palace influence. We were there in the area of Claude Juncker's EU, well, Britain's sort of still in it. And so that this man was in the prime of life. I think he was only about 40, and they said that he was very, very healthy. So it really does raise a question, doesn't it?
Yes, it surely does. Reading on, the agent, a 19-year veteran of the agency, suffered the stroke on Sunday and was treated in Scotland, unquote. That was from USA Today. InfoWars' Millie Weaver reported today that this U.S. Secret Service agent, who died from a stroke in Scotland, was also a food tester for the president. He was reportedly in good health before his sudden death. Explained Alex Jones, quote, "This is how power behind the throne always tries to make to take people out very quietly so that they don't become martyrs," explained Alex during his InfoWars broadcast.
And he also told an interesting vignette about Alexander the Great, that his enemies could never seem to get him in battle, so they poisoned him and he ended up being paralyzed.
And he died at quite a young age, I think maybe around 30.
Is that correct?
I believe that's correct. And let's see, Alex went on to say, "It is common knowledge there have been multiple attempts on the president's life," unquote. In a recent speech at the Federalist Society, Attorney General Bill Barr warned that the lawless left is resorting to a troubling array of tactics in their effort to try to destroy President Trump and overthrow the Republic.
And what about the time Steve Scalise was at the baseball practice and he was spared by Almighty God, shot? What about Rand Paul's ribs being broken? We can see that we're not too far from the gulag coming. We realize that this is a very serious program, and we don't think you're going to hear this on Fox News. And if you do appreciate our program, Lou and I really do believe that God called us to be watchmen, because we can't stand to see the evil ones harm the children, harm the elderly, harm everyone they can. And we do want to persist as long as God calls us and we're enabled to do it. And if you would like to help us at this Thanksgiving time, you could send a little cash, some postage stamps, a money order. You could write a check written to WWCR, not to us. We can't take them personally. But you could send it to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that is P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. This very, very serious story. Let's continue, Lou.
Yes. Now, these are the words, again, of Attorney General Barr speaking to the Federalist Society. Immediately after President Trump won election, opponents inaugurated what they call the resistance, and they rallied around an explicit strategy of using every tool and maneuver to sabotage the functioning of the executive branch and of his administration. Now, resistance is the language used to describe insurgency against rule imposed by an occupying military power. It obviously connotes that the government is not legitimate. This is a very dangerous and indeed incendiary notation to import into the politics of a democratic republic.
Case in point, Nancy Pelosi this week calling Trump an imposter.
That's right.
All the over 60 million votes, I guess, they didn't count. Pelosi's vote counted. And, you know, we have to interject here, too, that there is going to be another big breaking story from National File. This may eclipse Hunter Biden's big Ukraine and China adventures. And this concerns Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi Jr. And there was a relationship, I believe, that had its inception way back in 1998 with a woman. Now, these are the allegations that we're hearing, and he supposedly admired her genetic qualities, to the point that he thought she was a perfect human being. But when she had some children to somebody else, he wasn't happy with this. He wanted a child with her genetically. So apparently there was a forced abortion, and then the children were snatched, and these were not his children, snatched and taken to CPS. So a lot went on here that does seem to be very interesting. So we're going to have to be watching that story from National File, because we can understand that when Nancy Pelosi came out and said she was pro-abortion, this probably, if true, had already happened. And the woman in question, hearing a clip of her, said that she didn't approach Nancy Pelosi because she already knew that that was her signal. When she came out, I guess, on social media saying that she was pro-abortion, the woman knew there was no use to talk to her. But it's interesting, isn't it? The rich are different. The famous are different. The political people are different. But the common people have good sense, and many of them still love Jesus Christ, and we are a Christian program. Now, what happened next there, Lou?
Well, the concluding words from Attorney General Barr, they, and he's referring to these so-called people that call themselves the resistance to the president, they essentially see themselves engaged in a war to cripple, by any means necessary, a duly elected government. And now we're back to reading from Mike Adams' article. To carry out chemical poisoning operations, deep state operatives have access to a vast array of chemical poisons with a wide variety of biochemical mechanisms. The fact that Democrats attempted impeachment of President Trump is rapidly collapsing, along combined with the extremely disappointing lineup of Democratic candidates for the 2020 election, may have motivated anti-Trump deep state operatives to escalate their war to the level of carrying out an attempted assassination, Alex Jones explained to National News earlier today. It is becoming increasingly apparent to all Americans that the Democrats and the deep state work in concert and that they abide by no laws, ethics, or morality. There is nothing they won't do, it seems, to destroy the president and seize power, even if it means carrying out a chemical assassination of the president. The entire impeachment fiasco, as a matter of fact, is the deep state's attempt to overrun, that is to say, overturn, the will of the American voters and install their own leader who will protect the deep state rather than exposing it, said Alex Jones as he explained about the deep state's methods. Quote, you don't want to assassinate Trump because it turns him into a martyr. So you kill him slowly, or drug him with the chemicals to make him act loopy so that you can remove him via the 25th Amendment, unquote. This episode follows President Trump's recent activation of United States Marine Reserve units as part of an urgent deployment that's specifically named an, quote, emergency within the United States, unquote, and ordered units to be ready to activate in response to threats in the homeland that will, quote, come with little or no warning. The actual language of the order is this, and I think you have to go to a link there, so I'll just read Mike Adams' concluding words. All Americans must prepare for more attempts to assassinate President Trump.
And I might interject there. I think that link would be back to our earlier program. If you go into our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com, again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com, you will see emergency broadcast, and I think that will cover a lot of what you mentioned there, Luke. Pick it up.
I think that's exactly right. So, Mike Adams concludes with these words, all Americans must prepare for more attempts to assassinate President Trump or forcibly remove him from power. The coordinated conspiracy to overthrow the United States of America and criminalize conservatives is now spread across big tech, the left-wing media, elements of the Pentagon, and the judiciary. Civil war seems imminent, and there appears to be no boundaries or limits to the desperation of the deep state.
And now we move on to this business of the spiritual symbols of child sacrifice. They're arising again. You know, the stories that we can't confirm about Schiff, and there were innuendos, there were statements that perhaps there were some black people who had disappeared during these mock rituals. Were they mock? So this is rising, and we see that as a symbol of it, statue of Moloch, pagan deity of child sacrifice, displayed at Colosseum. This is November 11th, 2019, and this is CBS News. And they show a picture of this statue, it's rather interesting. It's a winged creature, and its head is a little bit like a lion, but we know that isn't. I guess that's an owl, probably. But it's from the National Cinema Museum in Turin, Italy. Call it an odd juxtaposition or a paean to the bloody pagan practices of two warring cities, ancient Rome and its ancient Mediterranean rival, Carthage. From now through March 2020, as part of an exhibit celebrating the city of Carthage, a giant statue of Moloch, the god of the ancient Canaanites and Carthaginians, will greet visitors at the entrance to the Roman Colosseum. Moloch is the pagan god who required his devotees to toss their children into his fiery belly as an act of worship. The location of the display is particularly worth noting, since the Roman Colosseum is where many early Christians were slaughtered at the hands of lunatic dictators fearful of a faith they could not stop. Previously, the Catholic Church had made the Colosseum a sacred site to honor these first Christians martyred for their faith, even placing stations of the cross there for the faithful to contemplate their sacrifice. Now, it's guarded by the pagan god Moloch, whose demand for child sacrifice has been compared to the modern epidemic of abortion, and the faithful are greeted with a statue honoring a pagan deity whose murderous spirit still seeks to kill children. A giant statue of Moloch greets visitors to the Colosseum Carthage exhibit. Of course, a god of death reigns in the arena, but the exculpatory didactic claims he didn't exist. Sacrifice of infants, documented by both biblical and Greek sources by any other name, is still infanticide, by Elizabeth Lev. And I think there's an allusion there. That was September 29th, 2019. There's an allusion to some things that perhaps the Pope has said. You know, we're more concerned with Mother Gaia than we are the sacred quality of life. LifeSite News reports it is not a welcome sight for some Christian pilgrims. Quote, "We were so excited the day we decided to go to the Colosseum," Alexandra Clark told the outlet via email. Quote, "But the moment we got there, the sight that greeted us was horrifying. Standing guard over the entrance was the colossal pagan statue of Moloch. It was placed in that prime spot so that everyone that entered into the Colosseum had to pass it," she continued. For Clark, it was a, quote, "mockery of the martyrdom of those early Christians."
The name for this pagan god is often spelled M-O-L-E-C-H, Moloch, in the Bible, but other cultures also use the spelling M-O-L-O-C-H. According to LifeSite News, the statue of Moloch that's been placed at the Colosseum is modeled on one found in the 1914 Italian silent film Cabiria. In the film, the idol of Moloch, set up in a Carthaginian temple, has a giant bronze furnace in his chest, into which hundreds of children are thrown. Cabiria, the heroine of the film, is threatened with this fiery fate. Ancient Greek historians record that burning children alive as an offering was a common practice in Carthage. Maybe, and I'll interject here, maybe it's a good thing then that Rome utterly destroyed Carthage after the Third Punic War. Going on with the article, the Carthaginians called the deity, this is in quotes, called the deity Baal and Cronus, or Saturn, the Roman god who, according to myth, ate his own children lest they supplant him, unquote. Moloch is also mentioned several times in the book of Leviticus, where child sacrifice is strictly forbidden. Some traditional Catholics see an ironic timing of this display, calling it another confirmation that that basic church doctrine is being undermined from within. The debut of the Moloch statue coincided with the meeting of the South American Amazon Synod of the Vatican, where pagan fertility statues were on display, even within sight of Pope Francis. The Catholic faithful were outraged, Megan Fox writes in PJ Media, quote, "It started with the when the opening ceremony in the Vatican Garden was full of earth worship and what appeared to be idol worship happening right in front of the Pope with his blessing. One doesn't have to be an art major to recognize ancient fertility goddesses. Prostrating before carved images of fertility goddesses is not Catholic," unquote. Demands for an explanation went unaddressed. Finally, Fox writes, quote, "Some unidentified Catholics took matters into their own hands and walked into the church next to St. Peter's, where the images were displayed, and removed them and threw them into the Tiber River," unquote. It didn't help reassure those bold believers that the head of the Amazon Synod, Bishop Erwin Krautler, is reported to have said, quote, "I have not yet baptized an Indian, and I also will not do it," unquote. Fox explains the Catholic view of this. Quote, "This statement has not been denied by Krautler. Baptism is a key sacrament in the Catholic faith, and the Church teaches that one cannot enter heaven without it," unquote. In a statement explaining their actions, those who tossed the pagan artifacts into the Tiber said love required them to take action. Quote, "Because we love humanity, we cannot accept that people of a certain region should not get baptized, and therefore are being denied entrance into heaven. It is our duty to follow the words of God," unquote. The takeaway from the Amazon Synod for Traditional Catholics, according to Fox, is that, quote, "The Catholic Church has been thrown into a state of total confusion since Pope Francis ascended to the seat of St. Peter. His silence and the silence of church leaders on crucial issues of the faith have created chaos and division between the left-wing and traditional Catholics," unquote. And for the faithful, displaying a statue of Moloch at the place where Nero tortured Christians and fed them to the lions is equally disturbing and another step toward exalting idols that should be cast down instead. The ravenous, and here I'm giving my own words, the ravenous appetite of Moloch is devouring America. Specifically, would the Governor Northam keep the babies comfortable practice prior to remaining, that is, prior to the butchering of the innocent remains to go to the billion-dollar corporate organ sales empire? Drag Queen Story Hour Summer is now year-round. Pedophilia outrages fill the cup of God's wrath. Maybe that set of glaring headlight eyes Elizabeth mentioned reflects another savage monstrosity, the so-called mock sacrifices that allegedly Schiff attends may be indicators of still another set of vultures flocking together.
Yes, and right after this next article, we're going to tell you what's actually happening in the Colorado public school. So, Lou, you can line that up. You won't believe it. So here's the headline. NBC medical correspondent, friend of Adam Schiff, arrested for sexting 9-year-old. And this was from Adam Salazar, InfoWars, November 15th, 2019. Impeachment ringleader, Congressman Adam Schiff, referred to Dr. Bruce Hensel as a friend. A California doctor who served as a local NBC news correspondent was arrested Wednesday morning after an investigation found he attempted to solicit sexual texts from a 9-year-old girl. Dr. Bruce Hensel, 71, is accused of exchanging inappropriate messages with and requesting sexually suggestive photos from the girl, who was reportedly an acquaintance's daughter. CBS Los Angeles reports the incident happened in August and that the LAPD served a search warrant on Hensel's home last month. A neighbor of Hensel's, interviewed by CBS LA, claimed she heard the doctor would frequently vacation in Thailand, a South Asia-Pacific nation known for a high rate of human and child sex trafficking. If convicted as charged, Hensel faces a possible maximum sentence of 18 months in state prison, reports CBS News. In addition to serving as a KNBC Los Angeles medical correspondent for nearly 20 years, Hensel was also friends with Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, who's taken center stage as the impeachment case against President Trump unfolds. In a video surfacing on social media, Schiff introduces Hensel as his, quote, friend at an event. Quote, "It gives me great pleasure to introduce our moderator this evening, a wonderful doctor and a very brave moderator, and that is my friend, Dr. Bruce Hensel," Schiff says. "He is board certified in two specialties and is a full-time professor of medicine at UCLA," Schiff says. "I don't know how you find time to do all this." It's unclear what the extent of Schiff's friendship with Hensel is, but Congressman Schiff also has ties to another accused sexual deviant who was recently jailed, Democrat mega donor Ed Buck. Buck was arrested and charged in September with operating a drug house after a third person suffered a non-fatal overdose at his West Hollywood home. In addition to visiting his home for at least two bizarre parties, Schiff is one of a slew of prominent Democrat politicians to whom Buck had frequently donated. So you see there, this is Elizabeth Cavalier saying, this is the plug-in there, I guess, that this is Buck, whose home Schiff supposedly visited for these bizarre parties. That must be the mock sacrifices. Now, what's really going on in Colorado, you just can't believe it. We're saying the cup is filling. And this was by Mike Adams, Wednesday, November 20th, 2019. And his website is naturalnews.com. It's happening. Colorado public schools now requiring students to role play child sacrifice poems as part of rape training indoctrination. The greatest challenge in covering the actual events taking place in our world today is that most people still don't recognize the level of depravity, perversion, and evil that has overtaken liberals and Democrats. So they can't mentally grasp the reality of what's actually happening all around them because it's, quote, unthinkable. So when a 16-year-old Colorado girl was, quote, violated by sexually explicit role-playing assignment in public school, where she was required to role-play rape and sodomy concepts, while the teacher demanded she read out loud lines like F'd in the A and similar language, most people dismiss the reality because they can't fathom it being real. But it is real. And it just happened in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Here's the picture of the girl, Skylar Kaysen, and her father, Brett. Lou, let's get the rest of this incredible story.
Skylar is 16 years old and attends public school in Colorado. Her teacher required Skylar to role play sexually explicit rape and sodomy scenarios in front of the class, where she was required to read out vulgar lines from a poem known as Howl, H-O-W-L, which includes explicit words and phrases like C blank blank T and granite C blank blank K. As Fox News reports, quote, "In another assignment, students were asked to review a song that talked about sexting and offering sexual favors to a teenager, something that blindsided," that's in quotes, "blindsided school officials when they found out about it," from Kaysen, unquote. Some of the lines from the Howl poem, all required to be read by Skylar, are, and this is in quotes, "Let themselves be effed in the A by saintly motorcyclists and scream with joy. A vision of ultimate C blank T and C eluding the last G of consciousness." These are words I can't even read out loud. They are so explicit. "Sweeten the blank of a million girls trembling in the sunset who cut their wrists three times successively, unsuccessfully, who blew and were blown by those human seraphim, the sailors, caresses of Atlantic and Caribbean love," unquote. The rest of the poem reads like the crazed rantings of a mentally ill psychopath. The poem's author, Allen Ginsberg, is of course celebrated by leftists as some sort of genius, a genius thought leader of left-wing culture. In truth, he was just another insane person who took too many recreational drugs and managed to find traction by translating his twisted graphic hallucinations into, quote, poetry, unquote. Ginsberg died in 1997 from liver cancer, no surprise, and was known throughout his life for promoting illegal drug use and sexual promiscuity, including homosexuality. Not surprisingly, he also promoted socialism. Critics called his work indecipherable. That's in quotes. Much of it is flatly incoherent, which is exactly what made him a cultural hero among the mentally ill, quote-unquote, progressives, who are almost universally obsessed with the idea of self-annihilation and the destruction of innocence. Perhaps that's why teachers in Colorado public schools now require students to act out Ginsberg's madness, because it's a very effective form of brainwashing and psychological terrorism to prepare students for the left-wing rape culture and pedophilia training that now features drag queen story hour perverts and convicted pedophiles reading books to children in public libraries, all while progressive parents celebrate their children being made tolerant, and that's in quotes, of transgenderism, pedophilia, and rape. The Texas law firm First Liberty Institute is representing Skylar Kaysen and has sent a demand letter to the Steamboat Springs School Superintendent Brad Meeks. Quote, students should never feel shame and guilt as part of an assignment at school. Jeremy Dees, First Liberty Special Counsel for Litigation and Communications, told Fox News. Meeks has issued an apology letter to parents lamenting the fact that, quote, they were not given advance notice that would have allowed them to opt their children out of participating, unquote. Incredibly, Meeks did not say that the teacher did anything wrong, or that children in his school district should not be subjected to sexually explicit rape training exercises in class. Only the parents might be able to, and this is again is in his own words, opt their child out if they happen to be given notice of the planned training exercises. And, of course, no notice was given. Thus, Brad Meeks is, in effect, endorsing the sexually explicit rape training agenda in his school district, which is, of course, entirely consistent with a school system that's run by demonic entities who prey on children for their own perverted sexual pleasure. Teachers have become the predators, and students are the fresh meat to be preyed upon in Democrat-run public schools, where almost every teacher, counselor, and administrator is a left-wing, Trump-hating lunatic. Even more shocking is the fact that the horror poem required to be role-played by students in public schools celebrates Moloch, the ancient pagan god of child sacrifice. Democrats routinely worship Moloch, as InfoWars reports. Fox News recently fired radio host Todd Starnes for accurately stating that Democrats celebrate this pagan god of child sacrifice. From the Howl poem, here are some of the snippets citing Moloch. And this is quoted from the poem. Moloch, children screaming under the stairways. Moloch, who entered my soul early. Moloch, in whom I am a consciousness without a body. Moloch, who frightened me out of my natural ecstasy. Moloch, whom I abandon. Wake up in Moloch, light streaming out of the sky. Those are all lines from that very poem. Oh, and this is also from the poem. Moloch, Moloch, robot apartments, invisible suburbs, skeleton treasures, treasuries, blind capitals, demonic industries, spectral nations, invincible madhouses, granite, well, I won't say what that says, monstrous bombs. They broke their backs, lifting Moloch to heaven. And those are the quotes from the poem.
Maybe that word that you couldn't say, maybe you can describe what it describes or something.
It describes a male organ.
Oh, brother.
Let's put it that way. And now back to the words of Mike Adams. Note carefully that the so-called poet, and he puts that in quotes, Ginsberg talks about Moloch, the child sacrifice demon, entering his soul. Again, quoting from the poem, Moloch, in whom I am a consciousness without a body, he writes. He describes this child sacrifice demon as light streaming out of the sky. These are not merely the twisted rantings of a madman, rather the demonic infested screams of a human skin bag possessed by demonic spirits in desperate need of an exorcism. And this is exactly what many Democrats have become: demon-infested, vile creatures of death, pain, and suffering that prey on children. The horrifying truth is that these demon-infested nightmare lunatics are now running most of the public schools across America. Here in the independent media, we've sounded the alarm on the rampant pedophilia, indoctrination, and sexually explicit rape training of youth, warning the public schools will be transformed into precisely the kind of traumatic brainwashing centers that are now being reported. And I might, as Lou, interject, what is rape training? What is that? Is that to be training you to be raped? It certainly sounds like it.
Yes, that's a very good point. Does that complete the article?
Just one or two more paragraphs, I believe. Mike says, in fact, it was just a few weeks ago that I reported this would start happening. In an article entitled 25 Mind-Blowing Things That Are Likely to Happen If the Dems Succeed in Removing Trump from Office, I described the depravity and perversion of Democrats and predicted that public schools would be turned into orgy training centers involving live LGBT pedophiles performing sex acts in classrooms while progressive parents cheer. And then he goes with some quotes from the earlier story.
Yes. You know, it's very important that we tell listeners that next week will be a talk that you and I had about Thanksgiving and various things, the two paths. I think you'll find it important. And then this program will repeat, and I believe that might be December 4th, the first time it will repeat. But the next week, perhaps that's December 11th. You'd have to look at the calendar for that Thursday. We will have another emergency broadcast. There's something very, very important that must be outlined for all of you. So, you know, keep listening to the Divided Kingdom radio program and send others to DividedKingdomRadio.com. And now I must move on to what really happens. This is from Mass Resistance. What really happens to children at the LGBT Youth Pride events? And here were some headlines. Kids given materials for homosexual sex, transgender body mutilation. Lessons in how to become a drag queen. Parents harassed by both local police and rabid Antifa activists. Here's just a part of what they were giving out to the kids. Yes, it's all about homosexual sex, transgenderism, drag queens, and more. Have you ever wondered what really goes on at gay high school and middle school clubs and other youth pride programs for school children? We're constantly told that it's all about tolerance and anti-bullying, AIDS education, and especially feeling, quote, safe. We're told that we must trust the adults running these events who are unsupervised and lacking background checks. Did you hear that? Lacking background checks. You know, we know a listener, this dear, wonderful listener who's over 70 years old, who played the piano for the children to sing for 25 years in her church, and suddenly she was persona non grata because she wouldn't take a criminal background check. Isn't it absurd? So she now has to look on and move a few bowls of flowers on the piano or try to do something in the background while the kids can no longer have her wonderful piano playing. But here, we don't need background checks for this, do we? Virtually all of these programs take place at schools or off-site locations where parents and the public are easily excluded. You know, already this article is outdated, isn't it, Lou? With the Colorado public schools.
Yes,
the short
sure
answer is it's a nightmare and it's anything but safe for children. Saturday, June the 22nd, the local LGBT groups in Renton, Washington, scheduled a teen pride event at the local public library. In early June, when some parents in Renton first noticed the library promotion for the teen pride event, they were very worried. Among other things, it advertised safer sex presentations and a drag show, as well as an introduction for kids to local LGBT organizations. They also were shocked that it was advertised for teens and tweens. This can include children as young as 9 years old and as old as 19. Of course, there's no way this was designed by teens. It's all adult-driven. The parents contacted Mass Resistance for help, and then they go to talk about how the parents wanted to protest, but instead the Mass Resistance told them the best thing to do would be to get inside and take photos and video and document, you see, what happened. So there was a big pro-family push to force the library to cancel it. In particular, the activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnston, asked her thousands of followers to call and email the library, resulting in a flood of phone calls, but the library refused to relent. Instead, one of the library employees contacted the Antifa chapter in Seattle and urged them to take action against the local parents opposing it. We've already seen that Antifa makes it a point to attack parents who protest drag queen story hours. Maybe it reflects their own dysfunctional backgrounds, but individual Antifa activists seem very obsessed with protecting those who push homosexuality and other kinds of deviant behavior on children. We had a listener write to us and wondered whether we were emphasizing this business, the drag queen story hour and all of this, the LGBT, because it was sort of trendy and it might bring us funding. God forbid, no, no. The listener needs to understand that we're not on here condemning adult transgender people, adult same-sex marriage people. We love the people. But we do believe that biblical sin is sin, and that same-sex marriage, according to God, is sin. And we cannot stand by and see little children harmed because they have not been able to get old enough to where they have free will. No, this is something awful that is being pushed on them. This is a destruction of them. So for that listener, and we're very glad for that listener's many comments about old-time America, how wonderful it was, we have to really say, we have to really look in our souls and see why we care. I had a person close to me think that it was pretty pragmatic to be heating the hospitals with the remains of aborted babies a few years ago. And I wrote a letter to that person suggesting that that person's parents, who are now dead, would be horrified. And I believe it had a wonderful effect because that person repented. That person, I think, is truly of a different mindset now. We have to be careful that we don't get slipped into the reprobate mind. We might get in too far and we can't get back. Isn't that right, Lou?
That's very true.
We've all got to repent. We've got to be doing this every day. There are many other sins besides this horrific thing against children. And we're all guilty. We're all sinners. In fact, I think in the book The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom's saintly sister said, "We all trash." That's what we are. Now, this is what the mothers saw. On the day of the event, there was no pro-family protest outside the library, but these three local Mass Resistance mothers, you see, were able to go in with their cameras. And this is what they began to see. It was ghastly. The largest part of the presentation was about helping the kids be comfortable and safe while performing homosexual sex acts. This included instructions on using lubricant and condoms for anal sex, flavored condoms and dental dams for lesbian oral sex or anal rimming. I don't know what that is, and I don't want to know. Besides condoms, lubricant, and all the rest, they even gave the kids two types of penis-shaped bookmarks. And I guess they had a picture there of some of this, showing this. And they even had a PrEP-NAV. And this was an HIV prophylactic drug so people can have, quote, gay sex and get insurance coverage for it. The presenters led the younger kids through various exercises to introduce and instruct them on the details of how to use their condoms properly. The reason for this was if you are performing oral sex or anal sex or vaginal sex, it was horrible to watch. In one exercise, several children, along with one adult, were lined up with signs describing the steps of using a condom during sex. From left to right, the signs read, "Pinch tip of condom, roll condom down erect penis, intercourse with condom, ejaculate with condom, hold condom on penis while pulling out." Another large part was devoted to transgenderism, making the children comfortable about changing to the opposite sex. Planned Parenthood representatives spoke about their gender reformation services that involve giving testosterone and progesterone to young people. They wanted to let the children know that this was available to them to make their transitioning easier. Make no mistake, this is recruitment. And again, we are not condemning every person who is an adult. Let's say like Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner, has made a decision. That's a life choice as an adult. And we're not going to say that we condemn that person or hate that person. We think that it was something that God did not want. And many of these people do become very depressed and commit suicide. But I think some of those people, after they've done this, when they turn to the Lord and they repent, God can save them. We have a couple friends that we think are saved, and they had done this. I don't know where they went through the full surgery. But you see, the fruit is what counts. If there is fruit of repentance, a person's life will reflect it. But if it isn't there, and the person, like the person I mentioned who thought it was okay, it was pragmatic, to heat the hospitals with the dead babies, that person, you see, was losing a soul. That person's soul was becoming deadened to the reprobate mind. And we don't want to take even one step toward those rituals, those things that reputedly Adam Schiff is part of. We don't. And we must defend our children because they are defenseless. They are helpless. Just like we have to defend the elderly from certain hospices, certain kinds of things that we think are truly euthanasia. I wrote to the editor of Woman's Day one time because in the last couple of years they had a big article, a personal story, about letting the mother die, and I really rebelled against this. So far, I haven't seen similar articles. I hope that one little letter made some difference. See, each of you can make a difference. Pray every day. Submit your life to Jesus and ask him what he wants to do, you to do. Talk to a neighbor. Talk to your pastor. At any rate, in this article, we get back to these presenters gave away breast binders to several of the girls. Breast binders are large straps that cram a girl's breast flat to her chest so she could look more like a boy. In fact, it is now recognized that these can cause serious damage to girls' bodies. But the LGBT movement heavily promotes these to girls who may be questioning their gender. There was also an effort to get the children to take an active role in the LGBT movement. There were pride buttons and various propaganda pamphlets. Where are the churches? Why aren't there some nice vacation Bible schools going on? Why aren't there some things that show us Jesus Christ is alive? He is life to us. This culture of death will not last. God will not be mocked. Not all of this child sacrifice is going to continue without serious repercussions. Remember, we will have another emergency broadcast coming up around December 11th, whatever that Thursday is. Pray hard for the safety of President Trump and the spiritual wisdom of him and his administration. We pray for you, and we love you all. Good night.